Welcome to This Podcast is Making Me Thirsty, the number one destination for Seinfeld fans. This is Two Up and Two Down. Here's our producer, Chris, to start us off.
Welcome back, everybody. Another episode of Two Up and Two Down. And today we're going with the season three episode, which I think is also one of the classic Seinfeld episodes, The Limo. So, Tony, let's go to you. What do you got for your first up?
The Limo, season three, Larry Charles. This episode obviously has a soft spot. We'll get there, but season three, The Limo. Here we go. Two ups, two down. My first up. Listen, folks, we talk about this a lot. We talk about how, you know, if you were watching it live as it was happening, you get a different feel for these episodes. And if you kind of watched in reruns and it kind of staggered, if you will, out of order, you don't get the same punch with these episodes as you may have if you were watching them live one after the other. And when you started watching this live, you know, you start watching a new show, you want it to get better each time, or you want to keep interested. All go back to that. It was good. Let me watch the next episode, right? What keeps you going? This is one of those ones that kind of, this is right after The Boyfriend, which was an all-timer. O'Hara likes to talk about that as a launching pad, put it on the map. They come right back with The Limo to keep everyone still watching, because this episode delivers on all cylinders. My first up, and again, this is a point that you all need to understand. We haven't met a stallion, and George calls her from the limo. And to me, that's my first up. Is so excited. He's in the limo. They're like little kids. I'm gonna call my mother. He says, "Oh, let me tell her how, you know, guess where I am. I'm in a limo." And he goes right, brings her right down. She just brings him right down. I'm not gonna tell you. And you can hear Estelle on the other end, and you haven't even met her yet, right? Now that you've met her, if you're watching this in reruns, okay, it probably is even fun. Think about never seeing her, and they already nailed her essence on a phone call with George in the limo. It just how she just shoots him right down, and just he has him screaming at her. Jerry's just sitting there. Unbelievable. Always love that scene. I love that, like, we haven't even met Estelle yet, and yet we know her so well. I just think that's a great premise there to kind of, they already had an idea of what she was going to be like, and George calls her for the limo. So that's, I got to go that as my first up.
Yeah, that's a great pick. So glad you brought that up. So yeah, great scene. And you're right about Estelle and being able to picture her. So great. Chris, what's your first up here?
Yeah, my partner, I mean, painting a picture like Picasso there of this episode, really good, great stuff. I mean, Jaffe and Charles, February of 92. What a year that was. Who could forget it? And, you know, he made some good points about them being children. And for me, this line, how they came up, they could have came up with any line. But when Jerry and George are talking about, can the driver hear them? It doesn't get better than this. Hey, driver, first off, to this day, you know, back in the day, whenever I got a car service or a taxi, I would always call them driver because of this, okay? So, hey, driver, what do you say we stop off, pick up your sister, and have a little fun back here? Larry Charles, I mean, where did he come up with that? I mean, they could have just said anything, like anything, but he said that. I mean, incredible. A line I use all the time if I'm ever in a limo, right? But for sure, and everyone knows what you're talking about. So just that adolescence, that line, again, this episode's full of incredible lines and dialogue, but that one always stands out for me. Just to Tony's point, the joy of kids, and then to say that, unbelievable. First up.
Excellent point there too. Yeah. Yeah. How do you come up with this stuff? So, great scene in line. All right. Thank you. Tony, so over to you. What do you got for your second up?
Yeah. Incredible. I mean, on a network sitcom of all things too, just sitting there 9 o'clock, NBC, 8:30, whatever it was at the time, you know, what incredible. Listen, I'm staying with the limo, and it's still kind of the opening scene stuff here. They're so excited. They're in the back seat. You know, Jerry calls Elaine on the phone. That's right, baby doll. Every time he says that, I love it. George is all excited. And then George goes, I see things how they are. you see things. How do you see things? Every time that gets me. I'll repeat that over and over again a million times. He just goes, you see, I see things how they are. And I say, they're not. He just gets all confused. Incredible. Jerry's on the phone with Elaine. He says, that's right, baby doll. Incredible. That just little back and forth. We can go on. I mean, we're nitpicking every scene almost because they're all so good. But it just shows you more of the excitement they're having as kids. George calls his mom, and then Jerry's like, I'm calling Elaine. Well, we'll get her bring her into this thing with Kramer. We'll all have a good time at the Knicks Bulls game. Knicks Bulls. Incredible. Second up.
Yeah, I mean, I can't even quote Kennedy's line there, because I'll just start thinking of George, and then I'll think of George's line and get it all mixed. So yeah, good stuff there. Thanks, Tony. Chris, back to you. What's your second up here?
Yeah, and if you remember, like I mentioned, this is 1992, February. They probably filmed this in 91, and Michael Jordan was just on a different level than anyone we've ever, in our generation, even to this day. Maybe if they mentioned something like Taylor Swift, you might get that reaction today. But for these two guys, young guys living in New York, going to a Knicks Bulls game, and the excitement, Michael Jordan, like, incredible tie-in. And obviously Jordan plays a role, if you will, in season three, the phony, the whole thing. But, and then Jordan, I love the Kramer and Elaine, and the grittiness of New York, right? When they're out on that corner, that set, compared to the later years where it didn't look like anything like New York, was really great. And just them talking about Michael Jordan, I've always seen him on commercials, and then Kramer does the whole 360. I mean, unbelievable stuff. And I'll just stick with it because the yups are dumb, but their conversation, Jerry probably knows who killed Kennedy, the CIA, Jerry is O'Brien. Loved it. Loved the separation of the two, and then obviously they came together. But for people to say this is just a Jerry and George episode, don't sleep on Kramer and Elaine. It was kind of the introduction to them kind of having these one-offs, which was rare and felt awkward. And I love Kramer saying, you took a cab, how much do you make? I mean, it just, everything was just showcasing who they were to a T. So to Tony's point, we can go on and on, I know that, but the grittiness of New York, and then them two just talking, the joy, Kramer and Elaine, keep going, two up.
Yeah, great points there. So good ups all around. So Tony, over to you. We gotta find downs, so I'm very interested to hear what you got for your first.
Yeah. At the highest point, the one line also when he says, George, it's all an act. No one can act like, no one really acts like that when he's telling Elaine, he's figuring everything out, unbelievable. The Kramer Elaine stuff, agreed. Listen, yeah, we got to find downs. I got a couple. I mean, we got to find downs here. So, where do I go? Listen. Never sat well with me. I look past it, obviously. But if we're analyzing now, we got to find downs. George's car breaks down, picking Jerry up at the airport. That's how this whole thing starts. Like, what is that? He's on his way to the airport. His car breaks down. What did you get in a cab and then go to the airport and then tell Jerry, my car broke down, but I'm here for the pickup? But like, how are they going to get home if it was? I don't know. They could have just had the two of them coming off the airplane together. I mean, that's one way to solve this weird thing in my head that doesn't make any sense. They've gone in flights before to shows. George and Jerry have gone together. I don't know. I guess looking at it now, like you said, early 90s, what else is he going to do? There's no cell phones. How else? He had to keep going. He had to plug on. Talking myself into it. It makes sense. I get it. Is it really a down? I don't know. Maybe it shows that it's an up because it shows George's loyalty to Jerry to kind of make sure he plows on. But the way, I think it's just the way the way they talk about it, that was odd to me. How George just kind of slips it in, like, yeah, my car's a piece of crap. It broke down. Like, I would have thought maybe giving George more there to show his loyalty. I'm still here for the pickup kind of thing, like they kind of do at the airport. Like, I made it here. Like, something where they made that into more of a story rather than just glossed over. It seems like an odd thing to gloss over to me. It's kind of a big thing. Like, the guy's car breaks down on the Grand Central Parkway. He gets a cab to take him to the airport. I don't know. Either don't have it or give me more of it. Maybe that's where I'm at with this. But either way, we're nitpicking. That's my first down.
All right. Yeah. Thanks, Tony. That's a good point there. So, Chris, over to you. What do you got for your first down?
Yeah, I think it's an up. It shows his loyalty. I mean, we didn't have cell phones back there. His friend, he was there for the pickup. He wasn't missing that thing. He left the car there, whatever, took a cab. Yeah. Can we get more details on how he got there? Maybe. But, you know, the whole watch guy, it's over there. We would miss all that, right? So that's the loyalty, man, and that's where it sets the tone. For me, again, very hard for me to find downs this episode, okay? My one, and again, it's nitpicky, and it could be a generational thing or whatever, but when they're talking about rolling out of the car, and then Jerry says, who are you, Mannix? Okay, Mannix was a TV show from the 60s and 70s. Okay, I thought what they could have done, you know, they could have used Hunter, okay? Made a little more of our time, or even John McClane, you know. But I guess that's Larry Charles. You know, that's him to a T. He's gonna bring stuff in the back or take things back. But I don't think it didn't resonate with me. Not to say it didn't resonate, but didn't resonate with me. So at the time, I don't know who Mannix was, this old TV show. But so that's my nitpicky, but first down.
All right. Thank you, Chris. And so, Tony, back to you. What do you got for your second down here?
Yeah, I actually like the Mannix line. I'm a big proponent of if a reference doesn't land, it's on the audience. So references are for, like you said, Larry Charles put it in because Larry Charles wanted it in. And I respect it. But, you know, like you said, we're nitpicking. And my second down, I'm now I feel like I have two written down here. One's kind of a cop-out, so I'm not going to use it. I'll use a legit one because it always bothered me. George gets out of the limo and this one just yells, it's O'Brien. And then they go after him. Like, again, maybe a continuity thing. Nobody knows what O'Brien looks like. It's just a limo that pulled over to the side of the road. We don't know that that's O'Brien's limo. It just is an odd thing that they just call that out and start attacking the limo. Give me something that at least gave that away, that like they knew it was O'Brien's limo somehow, but to just yell, it's O'Brien when they see George, you know, to me, when they've already established no one knows what he looks like, it's a little bit of a continuity miss. It always kind of irked me a little bit. I felt bad for George on that one. He just got short end of the stick. They just kind of assumed it was him. But listen, again, we're finding odd downs. My other down was going to be a cop-out, so I wanted to at least give something to happen in the episode. So that's my second down is the George getting tipped off that he actually is O'Brien.
Yeah, that's a good point. All right. Thanks, Tony. Chris, your second down, please.
Yeah, it's interesting, and I'm trying to defend it, but maybe, you know, Eva's friend was in the crowd and said, we'll be in this limo, potentially. We'll get there XYZ time. Who knows? But yeah, they didn't explain it. Yeah, and I'm nitpicking too. Like, some of the stand-up I could have said no. And this kind of bothered me a little bit. And people are going to say, oh, it's funny, whatever. But when Jerry's talking about that he grew up in Dublin, but he moved here when he was 18, he would still have the Irish brogue, the accent. You know, it doesn't make sense. He mentions the accent. Oh, not on the border. But like, just say you moved when you were five. And then you would get the, you know, he'd have his New York accent. Little nitpicky. But hey, if we're going that continuity line, like that doesn't really add up either. I mean, the guy had a gun to his head. The guy could have blown Jerry's head off for that stupid comment, right? Just a thought. Slight down.
No, I could agree with that one too. So thank you. So now we're going to wrap it up. We're going with the grades now. Tony, over to you. What yeah,
I can never do an Irish bro, but the Pete, oh, the Pete, he says, Jerry, you know, later on, does Irish Scottish, what's the different last thing? He loves doing that Irish bro, but he can't do it at all. It's great. Listen, my other down was going to be stand-up related as well, because I don't love the ending monologue at the casual hile, but I'll just throw that out there. Listen, the limo, we've been kind of being this. This is one of those episodes that at times I've called this my favorite episode of all time. I mean, just it epitomizes everything we love about Seinfeld, the hijinks, just the pure joy and excitement of getting that limo. Howard mentioned Michael Jordan in the garden. They're going crazy. I mean, they're not acting at that point. You could see Jason and Jerry are just laughing their asses off. So excited they're going to go see Jordan. O'Hara touched on it, but yeah, give Kramer and Elaine credit on that scene. You know, we talked to the lighting director, I believe, about that scene, how it was lit and all that darkness and the rain and everything.
It was pouring rain. It was literally pouring rain while we were doing this with the actors and umbrellas and stuff. And so I said, let's do this. Let's get everything blocked and we'll get everything lit. And then when this lets up, we'll just go. And we did. And it worked. And plus I had this beautiful wet down of the whole back lot of Paramount, you know, it was great. It was, I couldn't have been any luckier. That was probably one of the luckiest moments of my life as a cinematographer, was having all that happen. And it worked out. It was my first episode, but as far as Seinfeld goes, oh God, I still think that's still one of my favorite shows. My favorite episodes is the limo, just because how it looks. With we had that wet down, that God-given wet down, you know, it just sparkled.
I believe you're right. Aside from the cafe, which was a chance meeting at Babu's, this is Kramer and Elaine's first, the two of them together, just the two of them, I believe. He hugs her real good. I won't let him guess how much money you make, he says to her. She takes a cab. I mean, up and down. The sister line alone that O'Hara mentioned. I mean, the call to Estelle. We didn't even mention Krause, you know. The end scene, that's one of my ups I didn't get to. You know, the gun going back and forth. They're just all of them talking back and forth. So, like, just they got caught up in this thing they didn't know they were getting into. I mean, all that said, the limo is an A+. There's no way around it. If there's going to be an A+ given, this is where it's going. You know, this is why we love season 3. If you don't like the limo, then I don't know what to tell you. Limo is an A+. I can't really say much more about it than I already have. So that's my grade.
Yeah. Thank you, Tony. Yeah, absolutely. I agree with that. So well-deserved rating there. So Chris, over to you. What do you got for your grade here?
Yeah, I mean, O'Brien and Murphy. I mean, these two guys get off the plane. Well, get off the plane, and like children would. Hey, can we get away with something? I mean, and I have a feeling that, and you know, Jaffe talked about it. He used to do that with Larry. He'd have a fake sign at the airport, the whole thing.
And Larry was coming to Cleveland for. So I got word through the Kerry campaign. They said, "Oh, Larry David's coming to Cleveland. We need someone to pick him up at the airport." And I was like, I'll pick him up. I mean, I haven't seen Larry in a few years. So I get there and I couldn't resist. I held up a sign, O'Brien. And I waited and Larry gets off the private plane and he walks down and he sees the O'Brien sign. And he chuckled for a second and he didn't realize it was me. I had grown a beard in the interim and he hadn't seen me in the beard, and then he does a double take. He goes, "Mark." Yeah, but it was like life imitating art, imitating life, or I don't know what.
Check out his interview. He was a big part of this one. Eva, she's a friend of the show. You'll hear from her. Unbelievable. The Big Game. I love the name of the book. You know, Look Like an O'Brien. George reading the first speech that Eva gives him, and I love Jerry. You're not going to open with that, are you? I mean, just ba-bang, ba-bang, ba-bang. And then even just the sensuality, if that's a word, of Eva on George. I mean, and again, George, early 30s, he's a guy, right? you know, yeah, but she's a sexy Nazi, right? Like, at the end of the day, all that other stuff doesn't even matter. He's just a guy who wants to get a girl. He's a guy that just wants to see Michael Jordan play. He's a guy that just wants to have fun with his friend. And that's what this show is all about. To Tony's point, you don't like this show? Don't watch any others. It's an A+. If I can give it higher than an A+, I would. That's how good The Limo is. Larry Charles at his best. Everything that's right with comedy is in this show. And all four on every cylinder. Two guest stars that shined. She had Jodie Baskerville as throw. I even like the kind of how they did the newscast to just have a buildup of everything around New York. And it was just a really powerful episode. So hands down an A+. If not a top one, top two, top three episode, any way you shake it. So bravo.
Yeah, and that's, you know, season three for you. You know, that's, like you said, it's one of our favorite seasons of all time. So, yeah, thank you, guys. And, of course, A+ is all around for The Limo. We'll see everybody on the next one. Thank you.